It's time for JT the Brick.
You want a conspiracy theory? I'll give you one. There's no way you can sit in the boardroom on Park Avenue where NFL headquarters are and say the Raiders are going to open up with two on the road against the Harbaugh brothers. What are the odds of that? You're giving us the Atlanta game on Monday Night Football at the end of December. Thanks. Really appreciate that. Now, what you want to thank you, Roger? You just scoffed and mocked us. Like, you're nothing. We're nothing.
JT the Brick.
I'm defending the Raiders. You should be defending the Raiders. Very simple. Make the Raider Nation stand up. Sound off like you got a pair. It's your time now to be heard. You got a flagship station that isn't compromised up north with a baseball team going out of business and another San Francisco football team and hosts that are in the pocket. You got me at the front gates of the Raider Nation trying to help you have a voice on this. So let's roll.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, JT, back with you. This is our final hour for me this week. Even though the Raiders will be here in Costa Mesa, I'm heading back to Vegas, and we'll be back here next week, middle of the week, and I'll be here for a nice 4 or 5 days. Coming back next week, and then the following week after that, before we get ready for the first preseason game in Minneapolis. I want to thank all of our proud partners here on Raider Nation Radio, because without them, we can't get on the road. We can't come out here and do this. So thanks to the Raiders, Silver and Black Productions, and all of our Raider Nation radio partners here as we continue to go forward. I want to thank Tommy White. And Bobby, make sure we get this to the great Tommy White from Local 872. They built Allegiant Stadium on time and on budget. Nothing big, massive, and important gets built in Las Vegas without Tommy White and the 872 laborers. We thank them as a longtime proud partner since we launched here on Raider Nation Radio, the Local 872 and Tommy White, proud partners of the show and our partner here in Costa Mesa for Raiders training camp. So I just interviewed Trayvon Merrick. It was nice to get him on. And after I was done with the interview, I walked over to the tent where the media is, and I reintroduced myself to Tyree Wilson. Because Tyree Wilson, I met him last year once or twice, seen him in the building, and let him know that, you know, I'm here for him if he's doing anything with charity, his foundation, any work like that. And he really appreciated that. He's going to speak next. There's a couple of players coming out after they just finished up their lift. And then they'll head back to the team hotel, and they'll do it again tomorrow. Saw a lot of practice today, watched a lot of special teams. A unique thing is going to be this kickoff coverage and punt coverage and how the Raiders build one of the top, and I mean top, special team units in football. When you have A.J. Cole and Daniel Carlson, you have to be at the top. So what's out? You got a great kicker, you got a great punter. So you check the boxes there. You got to have great coverage, and you got to have great return teams. So I went down in the first end zone here, closest to our facility, you know, where we're broadcasting today, and I watched a good 15, 20 minutes of that, seeing who was catching the punts, seeing what they were trying to do, getting a quick return. And on the kickoff, it's going to be really unique, as these kickers are going to be kicking the ball into a zone where the players are going to have to return it. Okay, we're not going to be seeing players taking a knee. They're not allowed to let it go into the end zone. They're going to have to return it. And we're just trying to wonder what type of players are going to make the cut. I'm not making bold predictions, but I can predict now that one of the last cuts on this team at the end of camp will have everything to do with that position. It'll be someone who can play on defense or offense. It could be a six wide receiver. It could be a fifth corner, whoever it's going to be, to make the team because of special teams. Looking at that today. For everybody who's asking about every pass and how it looks, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell throw a beautiful ball. Everybody does in the pros. Okay, mostly all these quarterbacks throw a great ball. Aiden needs more time. He's more of a pocket passer. Okay. Gardner Minshew, I think, is very good on the run when the pocket breaks down. But remember, you're not allowed to hit the quarterbacks in camp. So a lot of times these plays are blown up where Max or Christian Wilkins will break through. Right, because they're not. This is not a padded practice today. But as they run plays, you'll see the defense come through and tap the quarterback. The play's dead. But the quarterback will still be rolling out and get the ball out and make a throw. We're not going to see much until Tuesday when it comes to that padded practice and what the teams are able to do there. Antonio Pierce, as we played some of the sound from earlier, spoke to the media today and just very optimistic, excited about what he's doing, and hopefully he'll be in a position over the next couple of days where I think this is going to get a little bit more intense. I think there's going to be a little bit more loud noise and yelling and really getting into the players here, because the padded practice, everything changes with that. And that is scheduled to go on Tuesday. A lot of news with Tua's contract in Miami. Some of the news around the league today. There's some stories here that I would blush if I talked about here, which I won't talk about here in regards to the Seahawks and a couple of other teams here. It's about the health of the preseason here overall. But as I look online, and there's another quarterback now getting paid in Tua Tagovailoa, who I believe deserves to get paid. So the quarterback situation is fascinating to me this year, because the Raiders are in a position where they're not going to pay a quarterback. They don't have to. Normally, teams love that. When you don't have to pay the quarterback, the best example would be Brock Purdy, right? Brock Purdy, you don't have to pay him yet. He's going to demand a lot of money, a tremendous amount of money in San Francisco. And when he ends up getting that money, and Ayuk wants to get paid, and look at Trent Williams, he wants to get paid more. I mean, what is up with Trent Williams, who is arguably the greatest player of his position in the last 10 or 15 years? But how is that? How does he get a new contract every time he wants to hold out? Ja'Marr Chase is in a situation now where he wants more money and he's under contract. I put a tweet out the other day on this and the response was overwhelming. But the breaking news today is Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has agreed to a 4-year, $212 million extension. That is the largest in franchise history, his agency told ESPN. Adam Schefter. So when you look at that number is enormous. And I truly believe that Tua does not deserve $214 million or $212.4. But you got to pay him. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you don't pay Tua? You got to go find another quarterback. So that's $53.1 million for Tua Tagovailoa. What would Jim Plunkett be making today after two Super Bowl victories if the great Jim Plunkett played in the NFL? Jim Plunkett would be making more than $53.1 million a year. Jim Plunkett's still alive and doing great. He's got a long life in front of him. And you're telling me this type of money is going for a player such as Tua compared to quarterbacks who played in the 80s, some of them into the 90s here. $53.1 million. Value on the contract takes Tua third among the league's highest paid quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow are both at $55 million. You know, Mahomes, like Brady and all these other guys, quarterbacks, they don't take less money. They redo their contracts. It looks like they're taking less and they get more in their signing bonus and they get all that fresh new money. But this is crazy. As we reset the market again, four of the first five quarterbacks off the board in the 2020 draft class have inked the largest contracts ever in the NFL, over $50 million. Next up for an extension is Jordan Love, who's entering the final year of his deal with the Packers. I wouldn't pay him $50 million. I don't think he deserves it. So look at the money that we're talking about here. Joe Burrow, $55 million, tied for first. Dolphins, Tua. 53.1, tied for third. Chargers, Justin Herbert, 52.5. That rank now is fifth. And Jordan Love and the money he's looking for here at $16 million currently is 20th overall in the league. Jalen Hurts at $51 million is seventh overall. I mean, this, everybody, I think I know what I'm talking about. I've covered the league for close to 30 years. We're giving guys $53 million who haven't won a playoff game. I mean, come on. I mean, Joe Burrow's hurt a lot. He's got tremendous arm talent. We understand that. We know Justin Herbert and the Raider Nation as good as anybody. What the hell has he done? I mean, he's a tremendous talent. You know how big of a fan as a thrower I am of Justin Herbert. Of course, I'm not a Charger fan. I root for him to lose every game. But Herbert is a tremendous arm talent. So now Dak Prescott. What do you think Dak Prescott's going to want if Tua's getting 53.1? And Tua's a good player. Dak Prescott's better. Dak Prescott's better than Tua. And Tua's now tied for third, and Dak's playing on a contract that's expiring. This is a big-time story here as we continue on. A big-time story as we keep going here. All right. Yesterday, a longtime friend of mine in the media, Steve Weish from NFL Network, went on the show, The Insiders, 2 days ago, excuse me, after he visited Raiders training camp. And here's what he thought about the silver and black.
But I was at day one of training camp today down in Costa Mesa with the Raiders, and there's a lot of talk about how this probably is going to be a run-heavy offense, which is not music to Devontae Adams' ears. But, you know, you heard him talk about the quarterback competition right there between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Of course, head coach Antonio Pierce said they're in no rush to come to a decision on who that's going to be. And today both Minshew and O'Connell said each has to earn this. That was a moderately paced 90-minute practice today, and O'Connell took the majority of the snaps with the first team, but that really didn't mean anything with the way they were rolling players through there. Everyone got to work with the starters. Everyone got to work with the backups. Now, they were mentally stressed, though. Luke Getsy, the new offensive coordinator, was rolling in a ton of personnel packages, including multiple tight end packages with this year's rookie first-round draft pick, Brock Bowers, last year's top pick, Michael Mayer. That's something to look for in this offense. And in terms of Adams, just a little side note, he said he may have to dip out of training camp because his wife is expected to deliver their baby boy at any moment, Judy.
All right, so Steve Weiss of NFL Network had one of the best national sound bites of Raiders camp period. He said that Luke Getsy is rolling out multiple tight end sets. Multiple tight end sets, and that's what we're seeing from Luke Getsy. So that's national news. You didn't hear Steve Weiss talk about Devontae and Devontae's wife about to give birth and he could leave. Steve Weiss said that he was out here at practice and Luke Getsy already installed multiple tight end sets, and I can confirm that. I'm seeing Brock Bowers a lot in motion, Brock Bowers moving around at the line of scrimmage. And as we preached before we got to Costa Mesa, that's something that has to happen. Because whatever they're going to do with Brock Bowers, they cannot wait. Because they're not going to show a lot of it in the preseason games. You don't want to show your cards to the Chargers and the Ravens with Brock Bowers in the Minnesota game or the Niner game. I don't even know if Brock Bowers will play in the Cowboy game. You don't know. So all of that has to be installed now. It has to be worked out on film study. They got to get to practice. And when the media can't put their cameras on and the fans can't put their cameras on, then you can run a couple other different looks for Brock Bowers. But we're seeing that right now. I love it. I love that because that's what's going to make this thing work. I'm all in on this, man. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me. And I've been wrong in the past, and you know where to find me. I'm at the torch every game for the Twitter tough guys, the muscle guys on Twitter, the anonymous little egg guys that have 7 followers. I'm always at the torch on game day. Love to buy you a beer or say hello. But you always know where to find me. And I'm definitely in on Brock Bowers having a big year as they're lining him up all over the place. 702-365-9200 as we're going to wrap it up. Hey, coming up here in a little bit, Amber Theo Harris, Eric Allen had me on their show, their kickoff to training camp. A pretty fun segment. Thought I got after it pretty good with them. We're going to play that near the bottom of the hour and take your phone calls and continue on before I hit the road. Back to Vegas on Friday as the Olympics are opening up and everything looks spectacular from Paris. Thanks, everyone.
Well, I think what you do with your past is you learn from hopefully your mistakes more than the positives, right? Everybody's gonna talk about the plays he made, but what me and Jack have always talked about in his careers is what are the things you've done wrong, and let's not repeat those mistakes. And I think Jack, each and every year, as he's mature and gets better as a pro, understand who he is and what he's able to do and what he's not able to do, he'll be a better player. But Jack is an emotional player. He loves the game of football. And I think for Jack, just if he can just keep work on being consistent, we'll be fine.
Antonio Pierce on the play of Jack Jones, who got a chance to say hello to today as he was taking back punts. And he had a really good practice today. Jumped the route, knocked a couple balls down. I like him, and he's going to stay healthy. You know, everybody says, well, Jack Jones is cornerback number one. Yeah, he is. This is a guy who didn't work out with the Patriots. They let him go. They came here. Nobody thought he was going to be quarterback number one. Let me make that point clear. So he's got a lot more to prove. He made unbelievable plays last year, which is great. But all corners are supposed to make plays. He did that last year, and now Jack's going to have to do it this year. And he's got to stay healthy. He's not a big, big guy. He's lanky. He's got great reach. Made that one-handed interception, one of the great plays, I think, in NFL history but the Raiders are really counting on him to do everything right, stay mature. He's been very mature since he's come to the Las Vegas Raiders. Do your job, and he's working for the guy who mentored him his entire life in Antonio Pierce. JT back here, a really fine day today, man. Really love being out here. I didn't know what this would look like in Costa Mesa until I got out here, and the staff has been incredible. The fans that I've been able to see, the people that have been around this part of town, it's been a lot of fun. This is a cool place to be, and it's cooler. And we're not diving into all the details and the specifics here. There's some rules that we have to abide to. And as you know, I abide by all the rules they tell me. I like my job. I'll abide by the rules. But for camp, I think the players, and Mark Davis does a hell of a job. Mark Davis spent a lot of money to give the players an advantage to come here with better weather, a little bit cooler, and they have everything they need. Everything they need from these two fields, really three fields out in the distance. The ability to train here afterwards and lift and then go back to a really nice hotel in Costa Mesa and have great food and have a good time. Tua lands the richest deal in Dolphins history. He's a quarterback. I think he's a good player. He's not elite. He's not a great player, but came in that draft class. You remember when Justin Herbert got drafted after Tua? And everyone said, wait a second, what'd they do? They took Tua before Justin Herbert? Oh, my God, Justin Herbert's better. Not really. No, Tua and Justin Herbert are in that same category. I think that Justin Herbert has bigger arm talent and is a better thrower and just a better quarterback than Tua. But Tua gets the ball out nicely and does it well. Now, the criticism on Tua is going to be, can he play in the cold weather? Can he go in January and go on the road into Baltimore and Kansas City and win? He played one of the coldest games ever last year, and he didn't play great, and they didn't win. But remember, the Miami Dolphins last year suffered a tremendous amount of injuries down the stretch. A lot of big injuries down the stretch that kind of knocked them out of it. Knocked them out of it. Hey, Trey Tucker spoke today. And we just have a little bit of this. Here's a receiver. You know, he's going to make the team. He's going to start. He's going to be in the Cliff Branch model as the guy who runs the go route and can open hopefully open up the field deep so Devontae and Brock Bowers won't be sitting in double-team coverage all the time. Here's a little bit of Trey Tucker.
I raved about your offseason. Have you felt a difference in yourself being out here?
Yeah, for sure. More comfortable, kind of know what I'm doing. I know what they expect of me, and I know what I had to fix from last year, and obviously it's a continuing process that I'm going to go through this whole camp and obviously, you know, hit it off in the season.
Trey, what did you improve on? I know what we can see, but I'd love to hear from your perspective.
Yeah, I think I kind of changed my body a little bit. I was a little down on weight last year, so put on a little more weight, you know, just to be able to handle the duties of, you know, playing outside receiver, playing everywhere, doing a lot of different things. Just catching a ton of footballs. I mean, I can't tell you how many I've caught. Just continue to do that. And just doing a little bit of studying, you know, of the opponents that we're going to play this year. You know, you have your iPad and that type of thing, so just being prepared way ahead, knowing what they're going to do, it helps me get the best of my game.
Can you kind of tell us what the difference is as a receiver, you know, versus getting a ball from Aiden versus getting a ball versus Gardner, kind of what quarterbacks bring to the table as far as, you know, leading this team?
Yeah, you know, it's actually funny because one of my mentors, coaches, always told me, like, it doesn't matter who's throwing the ball. It's our job to catch it. It's our job to get their name in the paper. So I don't really notice a difference of who's throwing the ball. You know, I kind of just go in the huddle and whatever play's called, you know, just try to execute it. And at the end of the day, come down with the football.
Trey, Aiden mentioned that you both were in Vegas this offseason and you had an opportunity to practice. How important was that and how helpful was it coming into training camp?
Yeah, it was super important. That's my guy, you know. It's surreal. Last year when we came in, we both were on field two over there just trying to learn the playbook. You know, now we're out there starting it off and throwing this offseason shoes with him because, you know, I kind of really got to know him as a person. And that's kind of all we did, three or four times a week in the morning, and very beneficial.
Question to that, you mentioned that you had changed your body a little bit and we kind of noticed some of the change on him. Did you guys kind of look into nutrition together or something like that?
He's a quarterback, so what he's got going on, you know, I don't think we were going to look at each other just because I'm a different position than he is, but I know he's definitely, you know, he's definitely added some muscle. It was actually a funny joke last year when we went to it was an event. And some guy made a comment about his legs. You know, he was like, hey, man, your legs, you know, you got to get them bigger. So he was like, probably going to do a lot of calf raises every day. So this offseason, he attacked the whole thing, and he looks great.
Aiden has talked warmly about you, the person, off the field as well. What is it about the two of you and your friendship?
That's a good question. I think it's just like I was saying earlier, you know, you come in together, you know, as a rookie in the NFL, it's probably one of the hardest things, you know, just because you're thrown in the fire and, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, you just want to be a quarterback's best friend, you know, and like we just hit it off kind of, you know, same minded off the field, which kind of helps us click on the field, you know. So, yeah, that's what I say.
All right, that's Trey Tucker, as we're able to hear from him. You know, he had a couple drops at times. He's not going to be perfect every day. He's an elite speed guy who I think is going to be very important for this team in opening up the field. You know, we saw Trey Tucker. A disappointment for me personally last year was the limited throws to Trey Tucker and Michael Mayer. There's only one football. Now you add in Brock Bowers, Devontae, you got to feed him. Jacoby Myers is really good, one of the best number twos out there. So with all this, how are you going to get the most out of Trey Tucker? Well, as the great Raider Moore tells me, throw to him deep twice in the first half and get a flag. Let the defensive coordinators know that Trey Tucker is running a sideline go route and throw him the ball. And throw it to where he can only get it to open up the defense, to let the defense know that you're going to throw deep. Now, I think you could do that better with Aiden O'Connell, more so than Gardner Minshew, even though Gardner Minshew can make that throw. But Trey Tucker has got to be some type of distraction for the other team and the defensive coordinator. And the only way he's going to be a distraction is he's got to get the touches. He's got to see the football. So I'd throw to him early in every game. And that's what the Raiders used to do with Mr. Davis. Al Davis with the vertical game. You know, Cliff didn't catch every ball thrown to him, especially Cliff Branch. Man, you look back at Cliff's iconic Hall of Fame career. When he was a rookie, he had the drops. He had the drops in a big way. Jerry Rice did, the greatest receiver of all time. Trey Tucker's going to drop a ball here or there. He's got to work on his footwork. Remember, a couple of times he had to work on his toe drag last year to make sure he could stay in bounds. But that's a gifted athlete. That's a gifted speed athlete. And he's going to have to play at a very high level. So Amber Theo Harris and Eric Allen, our conversation as we kicked off camp coverage, I think it's really good because Amber and Eric did a great job. They had on Devontae, Max Crosby. I'm going to hit the road and try to get back to Las Vegas. And as Eddie Pascal knows, when you're driving, you got to get through the Cajon Pass. If you get there, you got a shot at getting to Barstow. You got a shot at getting to Baker. You got a shot at getting into Deep Henderson, because I got to get to the mean streets of Summerlin, man. And I got to hit, this traffic out here is a different animal, man. It is a different beast. And San Francisco's traffic is something, but man, nobody has the traffic of L.A. and Orange County, man. And even San Diego, one of my favorite places on God's green earth. They're a mess also with that, man. You can only build so many roads. There's no public transit out here. There's a little train that goes down the coast and all this. But it's just everybody in Southern California has to be in their car all the time. And I chose to do that this week. And it's not a regret, but if I had to do it over again, which I am next week, I'll be flying. Oh, and Southwest, Bobby. Southwest is changing their policy where they're not going to have open seating anymore, and I think that's a terrible mistake. I like to get my A preferred. I like to get my A 1 to 15, get on the plane, get a window seat, and now Southwest is going to screw that up. It might help the stock price. As a former stockbroker, it'll help Southwest and their stock price, but overall, I think it's going to cause chaos in the short term. I want to thank all of our sponsors before we come back. They're all fantastic. Tequila Commissario has a lot to do with this. We welcome back Virgin. We thank the M Resort. We want to definitely thank our great friends at Remy Martin. Team up for excellence with Remy Martin. La Casa Cigars. Mike, make sure I come out here next week with fresh cigars. Everybody around here smoking a cigar. I got to get my hook up at La Casa Cigar Lounge. And so many other friends from Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud partner of the show. Amber and Eric and myself coming up next on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Welcome in. I'm Amber Theo Harris, along with Eric Allen and JT the Brick, right here in Costa Mesa, California, new training camp home for the Raiders. Great to be out here, and most importantly, JT and Eric, just good to see you guys and to be talking a little Raiders football.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled to be out here. It's a phenomenal day. Good to see everybody back together again.
You know, the first day for us and the players, it's a special day. You know, I always kind of put myself in a situation where you line up right behind the cornerbacks and you kind of just reminisce a little bit about the days of old. But it's a great spot for the Raiders to be in, and looking for some good things today.
How much you want to get out there? Do you watch them
maybe,
out there and
maybe
go,
two
I
plays.
Got one left.
Maybe two plays.
Yeah, maybe two. Maybe two. And then I got to tap out.
That's
it is
right.
Exciting to see everybody back out here, especially in the Antonio Pierce, Tom Telesco era. This is the first time that this group is together at a training camp. And having practices here in California is for team building.
Yeah.
It is about bringing this team together. And what you've seen, Eric, in your experience, have you ever did a training camp where you went away?
Yeah.
And what's the difference?
Yeah, you know what? In my 14 years of playing, I always went away. And I thought that was a great opportunity for the players to kind of come together and kind of isolate yourself a little bit, particularly when you're a younger player, to kind of see how you practice, see how the veterans get it done. It's all about football for that first 2 or 3 weeks, and that's what it needs to be. So I love the aspect of going away, kind of sheltering, you know, getting that camaraderie together. And JT, you've been around and seen so many camps. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't know how you can do it any other way. Because imagine if you're a veteran in any city and after practice and meetings, you're able to go home, chip golf ball, go to the pool,
right,
do whatever you want to do. You have to have this camaraderie with you're eating with your teammates.
Yeah.
You're going to meetings together. You're getting to know the new younger players. So I believe it's the only way to do it. And I think that Antonio Pierce is going to relish this.
Yeah.
Because as EA and I were talking earlier today, last year ended with some really good momentum, and now the team is better. We have a better roster. There's just better players, veterans coming in here. But I'm excited about these rookies.
Yeah.
And I think the rookies want to be around the veterans as much as possible.
Yeah, 25 rookies in camp. That is the 8 drafted and 17 undrafted free agents. And this is going to be an opportunity. There's always an undrafted rookie free agent that emerges. And Tom Telesco, this was his first draft as a Raider. But if you look back at his draft history, especially the past several years with the Chargers, he puts together rosters, and there's that feeling within the Raiders right now. Starting off, though, with the news that Jackson Powers Johnson is going to start, one of the rookies that is a lot of people are excited about, holding down that right guard spot, second rounder, that he is starting on the PUP list. I know, JT, what do you know about that?
Don't know much. I think most of it's precautionary going forward. That's the way I'm playing it here. I spent a lot of time with him in the offseason, and this guy's unbelievable. He was born to be a Raider. He can quote the autumn wind in an interview. So, you know, it's the beginning. He was around a lot, and I hope whatever they tell us in regards to his status, I'm sure it's mostly precautionary, and we'll get a chance to see him. But Amber, he's a really important piece. He's a rookie starter, impact guy. He could be one of the better players on this offensive line, along with Colton Miller. Yep. So we want to see these guys, bring him along at the right pace. The Raiders and the team trainers will tell us when that's right. But this is go time coming up here in a couple of weeks, because these preseason games are more important than any I remember in quite some time. We got a head coach behind us who said yesterday they're going to play. They're going to play in the preseason.
All
they
healthy
need
guys.
To play.
Take advantage.
Because
of
the first two games of the year are on the road at the Chargers and the Ravens, and the Raiders got to hit the ground running hard.
Guys, so critical that the offensive line is kind of intact. We're coming off of the last couple of years, we're being kind of up and down into almost regular season.
Yeah.
I think these preseason games are really critical because you only get 3, but we need to establish that offensive line. So it's going to be very important that the young fella gets up and running. And he has a great personality.
He does fit in.
He kind of jumps off the screen at you, but it's really important that this offensive line gets intact so we can dominate the line of scrimmage.
And a lot of questions on the offensive line, especially the right side, but that's one of the reasons that Tom Telesco spent all of day two selecting offensive linemen in the draft. You can't forget about DJ Glaze as well. He's going to get an opportunity. And then Thayer Mumford, getting to see what he can do at right tackle as well. And we should mention that Colton Miller is also starting on the PUP, but what that means, just so people know, is you can activate them at any time, and August 27th is the cutoff date, so it's not as if they're not going to be ready for the season just because they start on the PUP list.
And I want to get into Thayer Mumford for a second, because I spent some time with him this offseason, and he wants that job. And for years, I've been calling for a right tackle to come in as a veteran. Go get someone established. He's kind of changed my mind. He is not defensive on it, but he wants everybody to know that's his spot. Watch him this camp. He's super fit. He's ready to go. He's been here before. He had a lot of snaps last year, and he feels like he's easily the guy out there. So I'm going to be watching him a lot because the ability of Zamir White to run the football. Have you seen him yet? I know Raider, Raider fans are tweeting me pictures of this guy. As I've told everybody, I have not seen a running back. If you go back to Earl Campbell and the guys who were just overly big and fit, he got a lot bigger.
He did. That was the number one thing I noticed.
And I was talking to a couple of people off the field today. I know he's going to be great in short yardage, but does he have the pop to go 40 or 50 yards? Everybody says yes because his speed has not decreased. So here's a guy who put on mass, more weight, and is as fast as he was when he came in as a rookie.
And you have to put on that mass because you're going to run the football 25, you know, times a game.
It's going
to
be
You're going to be the guy, right? You got to establish the running game. That's what this football team is really about. When you start talk to the personnel, the coaches, you understand offensively, you got to dominate the line of scrimmage. And that's a really huge factor in how you want to build this culture.
And Brock Bowers, we have to bring him up. He was the first draft pick for the Raiders. It's exciting to see what this 12 personnel is going to look like. A lot of question marks because we don't know what a Luke Getsy offense essentially looks like. Yeah. Is it when he was working with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, when Aaron Rodgers was a back-to-back MVP with the Packers? Or, you know, was it when he was with the Bears and he had a running quarterback with Justin Fields? So he has a lot of options here, but I think Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer, who was a second-round draft pick last year, that is going to, I think, be a big benefit. It's hard for defenses to go up against 12 personnel that's effective.
Guys, I bet you that interview process with Coach Antonio Pierce and Luke, it was about, hey, are you going to run the football? Can you run the football? Find a way to get it done up front. It's so critical, like I keep saying. But Luke is a guy who can get it done in multiple ways. If you have a running quarterback, can get it done. Of course, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best guys to ever do it. Mm-hmm. We don't have that capacity right now. But our skill position guys are so good. Are underrated in the National Football League. So, again, I think if you're able to dictate and find ways to run the football and get the play action going, no matter what quarterback it is, take advantage of those outstanding skilled athletes that we have.
Amber, I can do a two-hour radio show here every day for 11 days just on Brock Bowers. I am all in on this guy, and let me explain why. He's the greatest tight end in the history of college football, no debate. He won two Mackey Awards, two national championships. No one's ever done that. He's on the Mount Rushmore of Georgia players to ever play. That includes Richard Seymour, Herschel Walker, the legends. He's in the top four ever to play. It was a gift from the sports gods to get him. He dropped all the way to the Raiders at 13. I had him going anywhere from 7 to 10. The fact that the Raiders got him means that he has to be great and elite. A perennial Pro Bowler. As a rookie, he could be that type of guy. You can get him the ball at the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage. I haven't seen a guy on tape who can catch a 5-yard slant route and beat corners and safeties to the end zone. He is critical to the success of this team this year. And as I've been saying, it shouldn't take long to get him going. This doesn't need to be a process with him. It doesn't need, well, let's see what he does his first year. Let's see what happens in the first 6 games. We can have this guy exploding week one right down the road at SoFi against the Chargers. He's got to be ready. I am all in on him. Again, a gift that we got him. We got to utilize him here in camp and get him going.
One day we'll all thank the Falcons for taking Michael Penix at 8, even though it confused the crap out of everybody at the time.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about this defense, not just getting Christian Wilkins, which is huge. I think the defensive line is going to be probably the best in football.
Right.
But the cornerback position, another gift from the gods was getting Jack Jones from the Patriots, who they released that Antonio Pierce knew, brought him in, had some big plays at the end of last year, so we know that he's secure there. But I got to ask you, EA, about DeCamrion Richardson, one of the young draft picks. What are you expecting from him? And what are some of the challenges as a young defensive back to come into camp?
Very competitive.
Yeah.
And that's what you want in this football team. Of course, you have Jack, who's going to really be the solidified number one cornerback on that side. Then that backside, you have to have competition over there. We need an outside guy who can make some plays, who can force quarterbacks into throwing the ball back over to Jack. And that's what the really critical issue is here is there's going to be so much competition at that right cornerback that you have to find a way to get these guys playing in the preseason games. I think that's critical and that's important to have these guys playing in the game so you can kind of see who is making those strides, who is getting the job done in practice, who is getting the job done in preseason games.
I love what you're saying there. Remember, Tom Telesco still has more money to go out and get a camp cut down at a starting cornerback position. So when I look at Ja'Corian Bennett and what they've done in the draft, it's go time. We know that Jack's starting on one side, and Faison can play. And the rest of this team is going to have really fierce competition at the other corner.
That's what it's
about. But look around the rest of the league, too. I don't think the Raiders are done at that position. I don't think the Raiders are done at wide receiver for a couple of reasons we just found out, other than Devontae, Obi and Trey, and what's going to happen there. But I think the Raiders are still going to take a look around the league and see what veteran corners are available. And if not, they're going to have to go with someone who's going to be able to play and not have, Amber, those dual practices, which I loved over the years.
Oh, yeah.
To see how they can play against real-time players for other teams. So that's going to be critical here. And the defensive side of the football and Patrick Graham, he's got to come up with that second starting corner, I think, pretty quick here in the next 2 weeks, so we're all aware of who it's going to be.
I mean, especially in this division.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when you got Patrick Mahomes slinging the ball and Justin Herbert slinging the ball as well. Let's talk about the Raiders quarterback situation. There's no doubt that this offense, defense, the structure of this team is expected to be kind of old school ground and pound. You run the ball first, you win with defense. However, play action pass, relying on the run game to set up the pass game is going to be part of this offense. And Aiden O'Connell comes in after starting, playing in 11 games, starting 10. He goes 5-4 as a starter. So a winning record. And then they bring in Gardner Minshew, who almost got the Colts into the playoffs. I mean, that was one drop, a backup running back, a fourth down drop away from getting to the playoffs for the Colts. So how do you see this playing out, Eric?
Well, when you look at the quarterback situation, obviously it's a situation where you want Aiden O'Connell to be a successful guy. He's built for this offense. But there's going to be situations where, listen, you're not going to be able to
There's Michael Mayer behind you getting very excited next to Brock Bowers, by the way.
Big Mike.
You can see 88, and we got all the tight ends, 88, 87. Those are the tight ends getting ready. And whoever throws the ball to them, they're going to be a threat.
Good segue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, like, offensively, we understand we want to run the football. But defense understand that, too. So they're going to force you to throw the ball. So that's going to be the situations where can Aiden get in and out of plays quickly. If he's not able to do that, is Gardner Minshew going to be able to utilize his ability outside the pocket on broken plays to be successful? And, again, that's why preseason is so important. If you get your opportunity to run with the ones, you got to show that you can make plays outside the pocket if you're Aiden O'Connell. We understand that. But if you're Gardner Minshew, you got to make sure that you can make plays inside the pocket.
Exactly.
So all those things, the weaknesses that we kind of see in your game, you got to shore it up here in training camp to make sure we're focused on getting the job done.
We know this is the only big-time, high-profile quarterback competition in the entire NFL, right here. This is it. And it's 1-1A. And they're going to fight it out, and whoever deserves it is going to start. But the way I see this going forward, Coach Pierce pretty much told everybody that Aiden will get the first snap. Now, is that the first snap of camp? Is it the first snap of the preseason? Is it the first snap of the regular season? You mentioned it, Amber. He went 5-4 down the stretch. The all-time franchise leader when it came to 63 points in a game. We got Stabler, we had Gannon, we had Plunkett. He didn't throw every touchdown in that game, but his name is on that list.
Right.
That's an all-time Raider game. Even though he didn't have a big game in Kansas City, he was the quarterback that beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. That means a lot. I want to see him do well. Fortunately, he played a lot last year for him individually. Unfortunately, he had to play because of Jimmy Garoppolo's injury. I think he's done everything in the offseason to earn this spot, and I think Gardner's going to push him really heavy. We're going to know by week three of the regular season who the starting quarterback is for the rest of the season. So I'm looking at three preseason games and the first two road games of the year. That's plenty of time to figure out who's going to be the starting quarterback, and I think it'll be evident to everyone going into the preseason and coming out of it who the starter will be.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to watch Gardner Minshew, as you're saying, not only in the preseason games but here in camp, because we do know he's a more mobile quarterback. He has the ability to scramble outside of the pocket. But they have the, and I say luxury for us, of having this defense to go up against, right? And to them, it might not be a luxury. But Antonio Pierce gets a really good look against a top-notch defense. And you almost think that kind of might benefit Gardner Minshew, because with this pass rush, with Max Crosby and Malcolm Kuntz coming off the edges, Gardner Minshew is going to show the ability to scramble and make some plays. What are you expecting? We know what Aiden has done well, which is, you know, really can sit inside the pocket. What is Gardner bringing? bring that is different?
Well, Gardner being mobile and being just in the league longer, I think can break down a defense quicker than Aiden O'Connell. He should be able to. He's a veteran here. He can move outside the pocket. He should be able to make a good decision. Look, Aiden looks to be a classic drop-back quarterback. Mm-hmm. Give him time in a safe pocket. He'll throw a beautiful deep ball. Mm-hmm. He'll hook up with Devontae, as we've seen. But if there's a little bit of chaos in a game and the pocket breaks down, I have confidence that Gardner can read that quicker, get outside, and pick up a first down. Amber, what I think is going to be key to this year, we don't know what Luke Getsy wants to do yet. But he has all of these great weapons in front of him. And I think it's going to be really important who gets the ball out of their hands quicker to Bowers and Devontae. Mm-hmm. Devontae runs inside slants. Right, we're not talking nine routes. We're just talking quick passes. Get the ball to the two best playmakers on this team. With all due respect to Jacoby Myers and Trey Tucker, Bowers moves up. Bowers is not the fifth option here or the third. He's the second, in my opinion.
He was brought in to be the Travis Kelce.
He is. So get him the ball quickly so you don't have to make long decisions where you could get clipped by a sack or a strip sack. I think Gardner Minshew has the advantage there. But if Getsy can clean this pocket up quickly and this offensive line gets better, and I think they will, then it sets up for Aiden to have a little bit more time. And he's got a rifle. He's got a cannon.
Yeah.
And he'll have an opportunity really to explode in this offense.
Yeah.
Why is it so difficult, EA, to defend a route runner like Devontae that can run those slants to the middle, and then at the same time maybe you have Brock Bowers who is going to be a playmaker in the middle of the field? I mean, we saw the way that Travis Kelce at times dissected the Raiders' defense last year in the middle of the field going downfield, and that is expected to be Brock Bowers this year.
Yeah, exactly. When you're talking about defenses in the National Football League, a lot of guys want to put pressure on the quarterback, obviously. I think that's what you want to do. But to be able to do that, you have to have coverage skills to be able to lock down those guys like Devontae. Devontae has really created a whole different concept as far as route running is concerned. He sets you up with all of his individual moves at the top of his route, and then he options off of your leverage. So it's very difficult. So what you have to do now is you have to put pressure on the quarterback to speed up that timing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening now. But defensively, you got to find a way to speed up the timing if you're covering a guy like Devontae, or if Brock Bowers is in the backfield or on a slot player. It's all about speeding up the timing for your defense so your offense doesn't have time to be able to set things up and get the double moves and things like that. So that's the whole process. That's the chess match on every week, is trying to find out how you can dictate on offense and then defensively how you can speed up the quarterback and sack the quarterback, put him on the ground.
We just finished watching Netflix Receivers. Everybody did. Devontae was the star of that show, and it wasn't for the right reason. He got blown up a lot. He loves Las Vegas. He loves being a Raider. That's a fact. Everyone knows that. But the national media didn't know that. So the national media took the clips of him last year, not the last 2 weeks, last year, and said, well, Devontae wasn't happy. Devontae was fine. There were just some games where he got blown up over the middle of the field.
And we all said that.
Yeah.
It was obvious to everybody. Yeah. There was one point I thought, he's going to get hurt.
And, you know, the difference between us and Netflix, I didn't hear that audio. We didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Right? Because we weren't micing him up. It was Netflix micing him up. So when I heard that, I just looked at it a different way. I said, this is a guy who's passionate to win now. So now he's at another camp with the Raiders. As I said in the series, he's got to be fed constantly. He's the best player in Costa Mesa. He's the best player by far. Max is the best player on defense. Just keep going back to him.
Feed him.
Feed him. Get him the ball early, and it's going to open up single coverage for Michael Mayer, Trey Tucker, Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers. I think that's going to be the key to this year. I think Devontae is on a mission. Because he's been all over the media the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now he gets to come back here and do what he does best, play football with his teammates.
Seems easy. Now you just got to go execute it, right? That's the plan. Just got to go do it out on the field.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.